All right, I want to welcome everybody tonight and hope you've had a good day and a good week, and look forward to seeing everybody Sunday. But I want to give you a thought tonight out of the Word of God. Pray to be a blessing and help to you out of John chapter 9. And so if you'll take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 9, I'm going to read a verse here, some of the words of Christ, and kind of give you a thought out of these, what the Lord says here, and pray it will help us tonight. I'm looking forward to getting to the point where we can start going back out and knocking doors and going from house to house again. And this message here will kind of be along the lines of that, with, you know, things like that in mind, being able to go back out and do things like that. And of course, you know, we've have desired to continue on the work of God. We know we've continued meeting and tried to continue to be the witnesses God have us to be, but as far as going out as a church, you know, we've not been doing that corporately, just for testimony's sake and things like that. You know, folks are just scared to death in these days with this virus going on, and so just a difficult time, and we've tried to be wise in that. But with those things in mind, I want to give us a look at a thought out of John chapter 9 and verse number 4. Now, if you have a red letter edition Bible, these words will be in red. These are the words of Christ himself, and look at what he says here. He says, "I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work." And so Jesus here is talking, and he's talking about working the works of the one that sent him, his Father that sent him. And so I want to talk a little bit tonight, preach a little bit on some of the important things dealing with the work of God. Now, there's been a lot said recently concerning things that are essential, what things are essential, what things are not essential, and everybody's, you know, wanting their rights and wanting the right to, you know, go to church and all these things. I do find it interesting that so many people that seem to be so vocal about whether or not the church should be meeting, and whether or not the church should have the right to meet, and whether or not churches are essential. Seems like some of the folks that are so vocal, either for it or against it, are folks that have very little, if any, involvement in church anyways. But either way, there's been just a lot said about what is essential and what is not essential. Now, I will say this, regardless of what the world does or what the government says, the work of God in the lives of His people is always essential. It is essential no matter what in the lives of Christians. True, saved, born-again believers, no matter what is going on in the world, the work of God is always essential 100% of the time in our lives. And it's something that we should always be doing. It should always be a priority to us, and it should be always be something that's on our mind and something we're thinking about and something we're praying about and making a conscious effort to fulfill. And you say, well, what's the work of God? Well, ultimately, the work of God is bringing sinners to Christ, seeing people get saved, preaching the gospel, witnessing, and finding ways to do that. And so the work of God is always essential in our lives. Tonight I want to preach a little bit on some things that are essential for the work of God. So the work of God is always essential, and then these are some things that are essential for the work. And so I'm actually going to take, this is the first time I've ever done this, take that word work, W-O-R-K, work, use that as kind of a acronym to think about a few things that are essential for the work of God. Very important things concerning God's work. And so the first one, W, would be willingness. Be willing for the work of God. Now, Paul told Timothy, wrote to him in 1 Timothy, and in chapter 6, verse number 18, He was talking about the folks there in the church, particularly the rich, but he said that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So he deals with their willingness there. And I think we have a really good example, really good illustration of this back in the Old Testament with Isaiah. Chapter 6 of the book of Isaiah, verse number 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying." So Isaiah is there. He's got this vision of God in the temple, and you can go back and read it. He's got this vision of God, and hears the voice of the Lord. And the Lord says to him, he says, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And then Isaiah responds, he says, "Here am I, send me." And so he has a willingness to go. Listen, if you and me want something to do for God, if we are willing, He will give us something to do. Now, there are a lot of folks that are failing to do God's work because primarily of unwillingness. It's not that they don't know what to do, it's just that they're not willing to do anything. And whenever we get willing to do anything, we get willing to do whatever God would have us do, God will have us something to do. David talked about, being the blessing it would be to be just a doorkeeper at the house of God and being willing to do whatever God would have us to do. So God has got something for all of us if we will be willing. The problem is so many people, especially those of us here in America, are too busy seeking possessions, too busy seeking pleasure, too busy seeking entertainment and ease of life and all these things to be worried about the work of God. And so the work goes undone. And a lot of folks are failing at doing the work because just simply, if we just be honest, of a lack of willingness. We read this verse, I believe it was Sunday, in Colossians 3. Verse number 2, he said, "Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth." And so we need to make sure our affections are in the right place. We love the right things, because if we love the right things, those are that's the thing. What we love is what will control our life. And you know, if we're a Christian, if we're a saved person, well, the work of God is our life, or should be. If we're right with God, it will be. And, you know, we need to get back to the fact that what we do is the work of God. Now, I know that's simple, and I know that's very shallow, but that is the truth. We, the church, needs to get back to the lifestyle that what we do is we do the works of Christ. We do the works of God. And that's, you know, that's just what we do. What are we out doing on Friday night? Well, we're out doing the work of God. What are you doing this weekend? Well, I'm doing the work of God. That's just what we do. And I'm not saying that's all we have to do, but I am saying this, that we need to get to the place that we are willing to serve God, to where the world looks at us and they see that the vast majority of our life is not filled with just going to church. It's filled with doing the work of God. And so we should desire to do God's work. Be willing. It requires diligence, requires faithfulness. And Jesus said, "While it's day," in John 9. While it's day. In other words, there's coming a time whenever we can't do it. Right now is our opportunity to do something. If we're going to get anything done for the glory of God, the opportunity is right now. Tomorrow may never come for some of us. And so if we're going to get anything done, it better be today. So be willing. But then, be organized. Be organized. Now, 1 Corinthians, again, these are just practical things, but 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40 says, "Let all things be done decently and in order." And we all know that order in the church is very important. Now, a lot of us have heard that preached, and we believe that's right, that, you know, we have the right order in the church, the pastor leads the church, and all those things, and of course, we know about order in the home and all that stuff, but what about our individual lives? You know, being orderly and being organized is very important even in our individual lives, and it's even important in our individual lives regarding the work of God. See, a lot of folks are disorderly. Well, their home may be in order to the degree, and the church they go to may be in order. But what about you and me? Are we orderly? Are we orderly or disorderly? See, it might be that somebody may be at a point in their life where they are willing to work. They say, well, yeah, I want to do something for God. I'm willing to work. But then whenever they start to work, they work haphazardly and they lack organization in it. And because of that, many people fail. Not necessarily because of their unwillingness. They were, at least at a time, they were willing to work, but they weren't organized in it. They didn't put in the work. You know, they didn't have the work behind the willingness to be organized. Because that's really what organization, being organized, is all about. It's all about being willing to put in some work and to take some time to plan and to be ready. There's a lot of Sunday school teachers who show up Sunday morning to teach Sunday school or teach their Sunday school class, and they're not organized. They're not ready. And that is a shame. I tell you, if we are going to do anything for God, whether it's preaching in the pulpit or teaching a class, whether it's to adults or teenagers or children, whether it's singing in the choir or singing a special, if we are just throwing it together at the last minute, if we're just, you know, halfway doing it, the best thing to do is get out of it. Just step out of the way and let somebody else do it. Let God put the burden on in somebody else's heart that will actually do it and do a good job and be organized and put in the time and put in the work, and let us just get out of the way if we're too lazy to be organized and plan and prepare ourselves for the work of God. See, a lot of folks, they'll plan and prepare and be ready for their secular job. You know, because in a lot of people's minds, that's what pays their bills. Well, this is what pays my bills, and I want to make sure I do a good job of work, and I want to make sure I'm recognized for my good work, and I don't want to, you know, be shameful or bring a reproach, you know, on my name because I don't work good. Well, hey, what about bringing a sad reproach and a shameful reproach on the work of God and on Christ's name? What about the way the world views the work of God and views the work that we put in to the things of God? What about that? What about being ready and planned and prepared for all those, for the work of God and all the things that goes into that? And so it's important to be organized. Organization, see, it eliminates confusion. And I read there in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 40, let all things be done decently in order. But in that same chapter, just a few verses before that, he said in verse 33, for God is not the author of confusion. And so being organized eliminates confusion. And organization is very important, really in our lives, just practically speaking, but especially in the work of God. It brings purpose, brings unity. And what it does is it helps us together. As individuals, but then also together, collectively, it helps us accomplish God's work. You know, I think I've told different people about it, and people are just amazed every time they hear about it, about all the tracks that we've gotten out. And particularly the big push that we did, over 7,000 tracks in 6 days with just, you know, a small church like us, less than 20 people. And over 7,000 tracks in 6 days. You know how we did that? We did that by being organized. We did that because we got together and folks were faithful and folks were committed and folks were dedicated and we got organized in it, and we were able to get the work of God done, get the job done, and get the work that God had burdened us to do. We were able to get it done. And we've talked about knocking every door in our city, and we've talked about different things like that. You know how all those things will be accomplished? Those things will be accomplished by us getting organized and being dedicated and being faithful, and for the glory of God, we'll get it done. And so the important things for the work of God, first of all, be willing to work. Be organized in the work. But then also R, be regular in work. Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 37 says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Boy, it would be a sad testimony of a Christian. It'd be a sad thing to stand before God with and have to be held accountable for all the times we were late to church and all the times we didn't show up to church And all the times we were late for something that, you know, the church was trying to do, some work the church was kind of trying to do, or the times we were late, the times we didn't show up, compared to all the days and weeks and months and years that we would never miss work and never be late to work. Well, what a sad testimony that would be. What God needs, what the work of God needs, is folks that will be fervent and faithful and regular. Now, some folks are willing to work, and that's great. Thank the Lord for it. And some might even be organized in the work, but they're sporadic in the work. They work sporadically. In other words, they just work when they feel like it. Every now and then they get all pumped up and they get all inspired, and they hear maybe a message or something that really inspires them. They get all fired up and they're ready to work and they're prepared and they're willing, they're ready to do it, but they're just undependable. Sometimes, man, they're on fire and they're in and they're there and, you know, they're ready to go and they're even doing more than anybody else is. They shout louder than anybody else. They amen louder than anybody else. And they're ready to work harder than anybody else. But then the next time they just don't show up. You don't ever see them. They're not regular. They're not dependable. You know, dependability is a scriptural teaching, particularly with God's people. Now, you know, of course, you know, there's always, we think about the teaching of faithfulness, being faithful. That's one of the most important parts of the Christian life, man. I couldn't care less about somebody who was gifted to sing and gifted to do all kinds of things if they won't be faithful, if they won't show up. If you never know when they're going to be there, and if you never know what you can expect. I wouldn't give a dime for somebody like that. I would trade them any day of the week for somebody that may not be quite as gifted, but they'll be faithful. You can depend on them. I'd take that dependable person any day of the week, man. Because dependability is scriptural. In Titus chapter 3, verse 8, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, wrote unto Titus, and he said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which believe in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." He said that they might be careful to maintain good works. That is, to do good works regularly. That they maintain them, that they keep them going. Be regular in them. Be dependable in them. Be faithful in good works. That is, that's just what you expect out of them. You just expect good works. And Titus said that, you know, to be very careful to affirm constantly those things in the people. And that's a good thing in the life of a Christian. That's a good testimony in the life of a Christian, that somebody would maintain good works. They are just regular. And whenever it comes to the work of God, and by the way, not just talking about, you know, what the church is doing. You know, it doesn't take a scheduled work day to work for God. It doesn't take a corporate scheduled, witnessing event to go out and knock doors and witness, or to strike up a conversation with somebody in the grocery store, or to hand a tract to the cashier that just checked you out, or to hand a tract to the waitress that waited on you, or to, you know, do any of those things. It doesn't take, you know, organized, scheduled church events to do that. That is just the work that we do. Those things are just the regular works that we are supposed to do and are expected to do by God as His people. And so may God to help us to be regular in those things, be willing to do them and organized in them and be regular in them. But then last of all, K, be kind in the work. Now Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 4 rather, Ephesians 4 verse 32 says, "And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." You know, there's a lot of things that cost money to do. I mean, it does. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of things that cost money in maintaining, a church building and church facilities and all the things that we do as far as corporately for the church. There's things that cost money. And there's things we've even done trying to reach the lost world and trying to be evangelistic that costs money. And I think about even putting on the Bible conference. That costs money. Costs a lot of money. And so there's a lot of things that cost money, and it is costly to do. But you know one thing that does not cost you a dime? Kindness. It does not cost you or me or anybody not one cent to simply be kind. And of all the times that we ought to be kind, we ought to be patient, we ought to be long-suffering, and we ought to have a smile on our face and joy in our heart. Of all the times that those things ought to be evident in our life, it ought to be whenever we're doing the work of God. It ought to be whenever we're about the Lord's business, which, by the way, ought to really be all the time. We ought to always be about the Lord's business. But kindness ought to be very evident in that. Now, somebody may work as hard as they want to. They may work harder than anybody else. And by all means, go ahead. Work as hard as you want to. But I'll tell you this. As hard as somebody may work, nothing hinders the work of God like unkindness and a bad attitude. Unkindness, bad attitude, critical attitude, critical spirit, smart aleck remarks, folks rolling their eyes, grimaces on their face when somebody says something they don't like and things like that. I'm telling you, nothing puts a worse taste in people's mouths, in the sinner's mouth for the work of God, than that type of attitude. See, the world and the lost, they're getting plenty of that out in the world, out in the system out there, out in the world system. They're getting plenty of that. They're getting plenty of bad attitudes. They're getting plenty smart aleck remarks. You know, you think about those people that are working the window at the fast food restaurants, and the folks that are working, the waitresses that are waiting the tables, and the people that are just really just working the everyday jobs. I've worked several secular jobs through the years, and all of you have. And you think about the things that you face on the job, whenever you're out on the job, working around, in and around wicked people, lost wicked people. And you think about all the unkind words. You think about all the bad attitudes. You think about all the bad moods and all the difficult personalities that you have to deal with, and all the things that there just is to put up with out in the world. And so the lost, they get plenty of that out there. I tell you, the absolute last place they ought to get it is from someone who says they are a child of God. For any of us to say that we are a child of Almighty God, we've been saved by the grace of God, and we are a follower of Christ, and Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we serve Jesus. For any of us to say that and then to be unkind or be critical or be, any of those ways, be impatient. For any of us, for that to be the case with any of us, that is an absolute disgrace to the work of God. I mean, an absolute disgrace. I was talking to a friend of mine just today, even, a missionary who's trying to get on the mission field, and they do a lot of street preaching, a lot of street evangelism there at their church, and he was talking about the things that they do to try to be very careful in all of that, because through the years, street preachers have gotten, the reputation of just being ugly and mean-spirited and things like that. And people, can kind of get that idea of street preachers, get that idea really of Christians because of some of the weirdos out there, get that opinion of all of us because of a handful of weirdos who are out doing real obnoxious things. And, one thing he talked about was being out street preaching and dealing with people about their soul and dealing with lost people and things like that, that you know, you can be straight and you can even correct people and you can even deal with people where they're wrong and all those things. You can do all those things and not be a jerk about it at the same time. Do we all realize that? Do we all realize that we can deal with the lost and we can disagree with them and we can even take the Bible and show people where they're lost and show people where they've missed it and show people that it's their sin, that's their problem, and show people that, you know, if they die lost, they're going to go to hell, all this. We can do all of that. We can do the works of God and not be a big jerk at the same time. That is possible. Matter of fact, that is desirable. I mean, if we're going out and we're trying to reach the lost and we're trying to reach our community, if somebody can't do that and not be a big jerk at the same time, you know, I'd rather you just not show up. You know, we'd rather you just not come, because it leaves a bad taste in the lost person's mouth, and it's a terrible testimony. I tell you, of all the things that any of us are able to be, it's kind. Because for one, it costs nothing, and it requires no special skills, you know. It requires no special talent to just simply be kind. We can all be kind. And we can serve the Lord with a smile on our face. You know, we don't have to walk around with a big frown and a big grimace, you know, on our face all the time to be gun barrel straight. That is not a requirement of being an old-time, fundamental, independent, you know, King James only, gun barrel straight Baptist. That is not a requirement that you walk around with a grimace on your face. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you do these things, happy are ye. I tell you, the happiest people in the world ought to be us. And we ought to be able to serve the Lord with gladness, with a smile on our face, and joy in our heart. And even when we're doing the work of God, and it seems like we're rejected, it seems like the world doesn't want what we have, it seems like we're doing everything we can to get the gospel out, and it's just not doing anything, it's just not getting anywhere, we can still do it with a smile on our face. Because we're pleasing God. We're pleasing God. And so, again, the work of God is very essential in this day. Well, I don't care what the government says, don't care, you know, about this virus. The work of God is essential in our lives, no matter what. But these are just a few things that are essential in that work. And so may God help us to be willing to do the work. And may God help us to be organized in the work that we do. And may God help us to be regular in the work that we do. And may God help us to be kind in the works that we do. Father, we come before your throne of grace. I want to thank you for helping us with the word. And Lord, I pray that you would help us, Lord, to be willing to do your work. And Lord, to be faithful in doing your work and to be about your business. But Lord, I pray that you'd also help us to be organized, Lord, to put in the time, put in the effort. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be regular and to be faithful. And Lord, to take seriously, Lord, your work in this day. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be kind. Lord, fill us with kindness and tender hearts and, Lord, broken spirits, broken hearts for the lost and broken hearts for all that needs to be done in the work of God in this day. Lord, I pray that you would just help us, Lord, to apply these essential things to our lives and to your work. Lord, I pray that you'd bless us now. And Lord, I pray that you'd hide your word, help us to hide your word deep in our hearts so we might not sin against you. And we want to say that we love you and thank you for all that you've done, all that you're going to do. For it's in the precious name of Jesus we pray. Amen.